I've got a little PowerPoint I'd like to show, primarily for the children, I guess. And we call this the Family Bible Hour, and I'm always mindful of the little ones here, the young people here. And so it's for the family, so hopefully every one of us can get something from it, including the little ones. So have a little PowerPoint presentation, so hopefully everybody will be involved. But the topic of my message today is going to be our responses to life's challenges. I guess you can put it that way. We kind of talked about it. It kind of goes well with what we talked about earlier today during our adult study time. When challenges that come our way, you know, whatever it may be, how do you respond to it as believers? Okay, that is my topic, but I just want to introduce this with this little PowerPoint. Hopefully it works. Okay. All right. I thought we'll start with a very simple equation, okay? And for the little ones here, you know what this is. This is what adults call as an equation, but basically it says A plus B is C, which means when you sum the left side, you add A and B, you get the quantity C. Some people call it algebra because you've got letters, but let's not go there. Right? It's A plus B equals C. So if you have two apples, okay, you have two apples, and you want six apples, so what do? How do you fill in the blank? So two apples for blank equals how many, six apples. How do you fill in the blank?
Four.
Okay, good. So now, before we get there to the answer to that question, let's describe a little thing. A is a known quantity, right? A is a known quantity. We know that quantity, okay? And nobody can change it. That's the quantity we have. Now, C is the outcome that we need, okay? And it's an outcome that you want to have, okay? Now, B is what you have to add to the known quantity to get the outcome you need. It's important we understand that. The known quantity, we cannot change it. You want an outcome according to certain criteria, right? But then you have to respond. This is the only thing that you can change. Your response, the outcome would depend on how we would respond. Okay, say for instance, sorry, I don't have the clicker that works, so. You didn't, where are you?
Bottom left.
Bottom left?
Yeah, you use a cursor, maybe.
The cursor is not working. That's not working, so. Okay, all right. I think I got it. I got to click on something else here. Okay, now, so somebody said four, right? Two apples plus four would give you six apples. But it depends on what four is, right? What if you put two apples and add four oranges? Do you get six apples? No, so your response is not correct, right? You want six apples, you have two, but if your response is four oranges, you don't get six apples, which is the outcome you need, right? Okay, but the correct response would be, you got two apples, you add four apples, you get six apples. That's the correct response for the outcome you need, correct? It's important we understand that. Okay, let's get to the next slide. Now I'm going to talk to maybe the high school kids and the college kids who have done chemistry, okay? Okay, does anybody know what HCl stands for?
Hydrochloric acid.
Hydrochloric acid. But, and then you got to respond to hydrochloric acid with something so that you can get NaCl. You know what NaCl is?
Sodium chloride.
What is sodium chloride? Common salt. That's common salt, right? So what do you do? What do you add to hydrochloric acid to get sodium chloride, your common salt, the salt that we eat? What do you add to it?
Sodium hydroxide.
Huh? Sodium hydroxide, that's correct. So an acid, HCl is an acid, hydrochloric acid. You want common salt, okay? You mix NaOH, which is sodium hydroxide, which is what you call a base, right? And then you get common salt and water. So that is the right response to hydrochloric acid, which is what you have, to get an outcome, which is sodium chloride, common salt. What if you add another base to hydrochloric acid? What do you get? Would you get sodium chloride? What would you get?
Salt.
Huh? Yes, it is a salt, but it is not common salt.
Calcium.
Huh?
Calcium chloride.
Calcium chloride. That's correct. You don't get sodium chloride, which is common salt, but instead you get another salt, well, not a common salt, but you get calcium chloride and water, isn't it? It's also called salt. Anything that combines with acid and base would result in a salt, but it's not common salt. Common salt is the salt that we eat, which is sodium chloride. Yeah, I just put this note in there. Anytime you mix acid and base, it gives you salt and water. That's a theory in science, in chemistry, right? It is a theory. It is a law. It can be, it's dependable, it's repeatable, and it never fails. And it's predictable, right? This is predictable. So it's, for something like this, we can call it a quantitative equation. We can predict the outcome with the response you put in. It's always predictable. That's why it's called a law. It's a chemical law. It can be repeated over and over again. Now, has anybody seen this equation? E plus R equals O. Huh?
It's Urban Myers.
Urban Myers.
Thanks for Ohio State.
That's right. The Buckeyes. I got the attention of the Buckeyes now. Right? Yeah, the Buckeye team, the football team, wears this little bracelet, okay, or wrist on their wrists, which says E plus R equals O. And on the other side, it says, I own my response. Right? So let's talk about this equation. Okay, this is not a quantitative equation. Okay, it's a subjective equation. I want to put it that way. Or it is, you know, in science, you say it's a qualitative equation. It's subjective. It's not objective. The results are not always 100% certain, okay? But, so what E plus R equals O. Okay, E is the event. Something that happens that you do not have control over. Okay? Something that happens that you do not have control over. Okay, it could be anything, right? In life, that's what we're talking about. An outcome is something you want, something you desire. Okay, the event is something that you don't have control of. The outcome is, from this event, you want to get to an outcome which is what you desire. Now, response is the only thing that you have control of, right? The outcome, remember, the outcome will depend on what response you add to the event. The event in life would be anything, right? We'll talk about events a little later. So remember, if an event happens in your life, it could be anything, okay? It may be, I don't know, a child is born in a family, right? If you have the first child born in your family. And then what is your response? What do you want the outcome of the child's life to be? Like, see, a godly child. So you have, what, 15 years of time to mold the child to a godly person, right? So that is the response. And you can choose the response. And depending on the response you choose, you get the outcome, right? Okay, some examples. E plus R equals zero. Just keep that in mind here. By the way, this E plus R equals O, it is very popular. Okay, it's very popular. That's why Urban Meyer chose it for the team. Okay, it's a very popular equation. And if you have not heard about it, you will at someday because it's getting more and more popular. But, you know, as soon as I read about this equation, you know, what came to mind for me was the fact that it was biblical. I'm not sure who came up with this, but there's a person who wrote a book and he came up with this equation. And it's a lot of people are now buying into this equation because it makes sense. And to me, it was biblical. More than, you know, I'm not sure, but the person who wrote it is a believer. But let's look at this equation now. You know, Peter on the Transfiguration Mount, we're not going to turn to it for the sake of time. We know the event, right? What happened there. The Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Transfiguration Mount and wanted them to watch, right? But you know what happened? They slept. They were so tired, they slept. And the Lord Jesus got transfigured, was talking to Moses and Elijah, right? And all of a sudden, Peter wakes up, and he saw this scene, and Elijah and Moses were leaving the scene, and he immediately blurts out, "Let's build an altar for the three of you, Moses, Elijah, and the Lord Jesus." That was his response, right? Was it the right, did it produce the right outcome? Was God the Father pleased? We all know. He said, we say no, because God the Father said that this is my beloved Son, hear him. See, that was a response that was not thoughtful, you can say, right? It was impulsive, a response. The scripture, if you read that scripture in Luke, it tells you that Peter was lost as to what to say. He just blurted that out, not knowing what he was saying, whether it was edifying or not. See, would the outcome be different if the response was different? Of course, it would have been different, right? Another example, Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we all know what happened here, right? So what is the event? Again, the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane because the other disciples were away. And what happened to Peter, James, and John? They slept again. A human nature, right? You're tired, you sleep. You know, we all love to sleep. But that's what they did. But the Lord Jesus wanted their support, wanted them to watch and pray. That was the instruction gave to them. But three times, the Lord Jesus went back and forth praying and came back and found them sleeping. What was the Lord's response? "All the three of you are fired." Right? Is that what the Lord told them? That's what corporations today will tell you if you sleep at the job, right? You're fired. But that's not what the Lord told them, right? He understood their situation. The fact that they're human, they have a human nature. What did the Lord tell them? "The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see? What a beautiful response. And these three men moved on to be one of the Lord Jesus' apostles. And what tremendous work that they did for the Lord. right? He made sure that he never rebuked them, but he understood the situation. Okay, David in exile is another example that I put down. These are examples that came to mind, okay? You can put in so many other examples. Remember how David was anointed to be king of Israel, okay, when he was a young boy, maybe in his teens. And later when King Saul found out that he was going to be the next king, King Saul was not too happy. And he was wanted to take David's life. And for about 15 to 16 years, David lived in exile, away from his very home, running for his life, hiding in caves. You know, that's the story. But in Samuel, 1 Samuel 26, you will notice there was a point during the time he was in exile, King Saul and his army, however many people he had, you know, searching for David, was sleeping in a cave. And David was able to get into that cave and kill Saul, his enemy. But he never did it. You got to read his response in verses 23 and 24. In effect, what he said, I have no right to take an action on the Lord's anointed. Although Saul was an enemy, but he was anointed by the Lord to be king of Israel. He said, I have no right. I let the Lord handle that. You see, that was a beautiful response, right? You know what the outcome was? David is was recorded as one of the greatest kings of Israel. And he was given a title, a man after God's own heart. See, so the response is important. See, what are possible events in our life? You know, it could be a trial, right? It could be a temptation. It could be slander, somebody just bad-mouthing you or something. A physical attack, a verbal attack, mistreatment. You know, Joseph and his brothers, you know the story. Mistreatment. Hannah and Peninnah. You know the story, right? Elkanah's two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And you know the responses there, right? How Joseph responded to that situation. How Hannah responded to that situation. Or maybe like Sheila and I faced some years ago when we were young in Atlanta, we had a little car accident. We didn't have any kids at the time. Both of us were driving to visit a family and stopped in traffic. A guy just came and slammed at the back of our car and rear-ended us. And so as I got out of the car, this man just came out of the car and just throwing fits as if I did something wrong. He was shouting and screaming at me. And the police came, and I'm not sure what he told the police, you know, because the police talked to him separately, talked to me separately, and wrote a thing down, and he said, you have to go to court, because it seems there was a dispute. I was stopped in traffic, he hit me, and for some reason, he was not happy with me. But anyway, it all worked out well, okay? But a response, right? A situation that happens, a situation that you have no control of, an event in your life. See, things happen that you have no control of. But then you want an outcome based on certain criteria. And then you go to respond to that event to get that outcome. So that is actually the message here. So what is the outcome that we as believers would need? An event happens in life. Okay, whatever it may be. The criteria for the outcome is that it should glorify God, right? It should bring delight to God. It should please God. What David did when he entered the cave where Saul was sleeping, pleased God. See, that is a criteria. Does it really please God? Would it glorify God? Does it meet scriptural principles? Does it edify the other person? or the others who were involved. Responses, okay? Your response should be based on that criteria. Because otherwise, if you don't respond it based on that criteria, you get an outcome that may not be what you want. Right? WWJD is a little bracelet my children used to wear when they used to go to a Christian school very early in their lives. It means, what would Jesus do? That's what it means. What would Jesus do? And it was instilling into the children in that Christian school to think before they acted, right? In this situation, what would Jesus do? See, it should not be an impulsive thing like Peter did, right? And we all have tendencies to do that. I've done that. That's precisely where this message came from. Got me thinking a little bit, right? You know, we ought to change that. We have a tendency to be impulsive. You know, just as soon as you see an effect, you have to say something, you have to put your 2 cents in right away. It becomes unthoughtful. But instead, it should be how the Lord Jesus did it, right? Thoughtful, intentional, and purposeful. Okay, in order to come up with a criteria, okay, we saw that it should glorify God, should please God, it should bring delight to God, and it should edify the other person. Okay, in order to do that, to pick a criteria, okay, today we're not picking a criteria, I'm going to leave that to you. To pick a criteria, what is it that the outcome that you need? Say, for example, a person comes to your office room and just insults you. Okay, that's the event. You have no control over it. It happened. The outcome. You want an outcome to be a fight? Then throw a punch, right? The response, you throw a punch, the outcome is a fight. Is that what you want? See, would that glorify God? Would that please God? See, those are the kind of things that we have to think before you decide how you respond to a certain situation, right? And it's important that we remember God's promises. Now, I've put down a few here. We can select as many as you want. John 14, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. We have a promise. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's a promise. See, we have a promise. We should remember God's promises in the Word of God. I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember, you're a believer. You're a child of God. It's important. Your response is so important because your response will bring out the outcome. You see? But you should remember these God's promises that we have. Never take your own revenge. But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. A promise. Somebody's hurt you. You don't take the revenge. Right? Another thing I put down here is have a godly perspective. Just a couple of verses. Hebrews. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can a human being do to me? You being a child of God. You being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What can a human being do to you? Nothing. The worst thing he can do is take your life, right? But the scripture says, don't covet, but be content with what you have. Don't be greedy, but be content with what God has given you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? A perspective of life. You see? Understand God's promises. Have a godly perspective. We can also repeat the exact same thing that we read in Hebrews in Romans chapter 8. Right? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Can anybody? We are a sinner, yeah? But can Satan bring a charge against you if you're a saved believer? No. It is God who justifies. God has declared us, each and every one of us, who have accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, as justified in His eyes. Nobody can take that away. Who is he who condemns? There is therefore no what? No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Nobody is out there who can condemn us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? All rhetorical questions here. Paul writes, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? There's nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Perspective. That's the perspective we as believers ought to have. And finally, I've got a real understanding of scriptural principles, right, or requirements, or commands. For example, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's a requirement in the scripture, right? No matter what the situation is, that's what we ought to be like. Our response is based on that criteria. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Wow. A criteria. So our response will be based on that criteria, no matter what the event is. Right? Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. See, being Christ-like is our responsibility as believers. Luke 6:29. Whosoever hits you on your cheek, offer him the other also. And whosoever takes your coat away, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Wow, what a criteria. Scriptural criteria, principles that we've got to consider, right? As believers, we've got to consider. But it's also important to remember that each of us as individuals are unique. God has created us unique. Our fingerprints are different. Okay? Our hairs, the hair on our heads are numbered in the sense that each one of our hairs have a number. It is unique. Every hair is unique, just like every leaf of a tree is unique. We are all unique people. So every event that happens in our life as a unique person, our response is going to be different. But it should be based on a criteria. Right? Every situation is unique. Every response is unique. The outcome should be based on that criteria. Remember the Lord Jesus, before Pilate, when he was asked certain questions, he remained silent. That was his response. Silence. Joseph, before Potiphar's wife, he flew. Right? He fleed. A response based on a criteria. But the event happened, but based on a criteria, we respond accordingly. Coming to the response, okay? And another example. When the Pharisees and the scribes on John chapter 8 brought this woman who was caught in the act, it says, in adultery, brought her before the Lord Jesus, The intent was to test the Lord Jesus, right? The intent was to test him. And remember, they asked him a question. You know, the law says that such a person needs to be stoned to death. What do you say? Was the question to the Lord. He never answered that question right away. He waited, right? What did he do in the meantime? He was writing on the ground with his finger. I wish we knew what he wrote, right? I wish it was described what he wrote, but we do not know. But then there's a scripture in the Old Testament, the law was given by the finger of the Lord. That is good enough, right? Maybe he was writing down the Ten Commandments. Right? The Ten Commandments. All the ten of them. And when the scribes and the Pharisees persisted for a response, how did he respond? Do you remember their response? Because they wanted to get him, remember? Their intent was to get him. Get the Lord Jesus. Remember what the response was? You who are without sin may be the first person to cast a stone at her. He did not say that he who is not guilty of adultery or murder, whatever you want to put in there, may cast the first stone at her. That was the Lord's response. Remember the reason I said that was, it was a very purposeful response. It was not an impulsive response. It was not an unthoughtful response. It was an intentional response. Purposeful, intentional, and thoughtful. And what did he do there? What did he prove? You remember what happened in that story? Starting with the elder first, they started walking away from that scene. The oldest first. The older you are, the more sins you accumulate, right? Unfortunately, that's true. One by one, they left the scene. What does the Lord Jesus prove that day? As an example, he didn't say that, but what did he do? The one who is without sin can throw the first stone at her, or be the first person to throw a stone at her. What did he prove that day? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was the Pharisees, there was the scribes, there were his 12 disciples, and so many other disciples there in that scene. But not one of them was able to cast a stone at that woman. Right? But there was one person in the midst who could have cast a stone and stoned her to death. Who was that one person? The Lord Jesus Christ. He could have cast that stone based on that criteria. Not only that woman, but every one of them was present there. They were all guilty sinners. He could have done that based on that criteria. But did he do it? It's a question. He never did it. But if you go to that last verse, I think it's the last couple of verses of that very same chapter, you will see a scene where the people, the Pharisees and the scribes, were taking up stones to stone him. End of that chapter, it was the end of John chapter 8. You see the picture, right? Here, the sinless one had to die for sinners. You see that irony there. They were picking up stones to stone him to death. But it never happened because it's not his time yet. He walked away from the scene, just disappeared right in front of the eyes. I think my time is almost gone here. Almost gone. But I think I've shared what I wanted to share. See, I'm not setting a criteria. I'm not telling you what response you're going to make. But it has to be based on a criteria. Because otherwise, our responses may not glorify God. Or may not please Him. So it takes a certain amount of thought. Don't be impulsive. You know, we don't always should, well, I should not put it this way, but prayer is not the only thing that we should respond with when an event happens in a believer's life, right? Yes, you should respond in prayer, but I'm saying a believer's life should be characterized with prayer, a constant communion with God. You see, we ought to have, that should be what we are. A constant communication, communion with our Father in heaven, right? He's our Father in heaven. You can tell Him exactly what you feel. See, you've got to build that kind of a relationship. You're driving a car, you can talk to Him. It doesn't have to be audible. You can have a constant communion. That characterizes a believer's life. That'll help you, the Spirit of God, helps you in decisions when we have to make responses. You know, when we were going through Zechariah, Brother Tom Fishbach, you know, reminded us of this verse. The angel of the Lord told Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, not by my might or my power. There's nothing you and I can achieve. I'll bring glory and honor to God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You this morning that we were able to consider Your word. Thank You, Father, for reminding us that our responses to life situations matter for what outcomes they produce. We thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit that lives within us, that prompts us, if we depend on You, to provide the right response. Father, we thank You this morning for gathering us together once again to remember Your Son and our beloved Savior. Father, we thank You for the studies we've had together, both the Sunday school children and adult Sunday school here for the adults and also for the Family Bible Hour. Help us to ponder these things that we have before us. Father, we pray for those who are in need this morning. We pray for Mallory's mother. We just lift her up to You, Father, and the entire family, and her stepfather, and Anthony, and Rory, and Hillary. Just lift them up to You, Father, that You might give them the grace that they need this time. Likewise, Father, we think of all who are traveling. We pray for the Jamesons who will be traveling to India soon, and remember, Leslie was traveling for a couple of weeks. Father, so many are sick at homes, recovering. We pray for Your providence there. We lift up Nathan to You. We just pray that Your healing hand will come upon him, that You will heal him completely, restore him back to good health. We just commit the Paul family also into Your care try to help him, Father, in this time, and encourage him. We just pray for encouragement on them too. Likewise, Father, we just lift each and every one of us and every family that's represented here. Father, our needs are many, and Father, we know that You know them, and You've promised us that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we just commit this week before us into Your care. Just pray that You lead us and direct us, give us wisdom as we handle our responsibilities. Our daily responsibilities, and keep us safe. And in Your will, Father, that we can gather together again next week to remember You and Your goodness. We thank You, Father, for this time of prayer in Christ's precious name.
Amen.
Thank you.